When I was at the U.S. Air Force Academy, they wanted to teach us how to fight, and specifically how to box. And so we took classes and lessons as far as how the rules go, how you use the ring, how you put on the gloves, how you put on the headgear and everything. We learned everything about boxing, and then the goal was to actually group us into weight classes so that we can fight against each other and have a record and see who is the best boxer in every weight class. Now, I was excited to be able to do this. This was going to be a lot of fun. I was looking forward to doing this. However, my size was a problem when it came to weight classes, when it came to boxing. You see, when I was in the military, fresh out of basic training, I was very, very small. You may say, how small is small? Like smaller than you are right now? Like, yes, I was shorter and a lot thinner. As a matter of fact, I weighed 115 pounds. Okay, I'm not saying 150, I'm saying 115. And that was a problem because there was no one in my weight class and there was no one in the next two weight classes above me. So there was no one for me to fight. And so that meant in order for me to participate in fight, I would have to fight against people who weighed 30 to 40 pounds more than me. And if you know anything about weight classes, that makes a big difference. Have you ever heard the phrase, throw in the towel? Yeah, what does that mean if someone says, I'm throwing in the towel? I quit, that's right, I quit. And this phrase actually comes from boxing, throwing in the towel, because here's how it's used, is that if a fighter feels like they can't fight anymore, or even the coach says, whoa, this fighter is getting too hurt, the way how they stop the boxing match is to throw the towel into the ring to say, the fight's over. We don't want to cause permanent damage here. We got to keep this down. And the instructors who were instructing me in boxing, they wanted to make sure that I understood about throwing in the towel, because they're like, you're probably going to need this, because this is going to be bad. And that day, on my first fight, the bell rang, and the fight began against me and the next guy closest to me, who was 30 pounds heavier than me, 25% more than I was. And that fight did not last that long, because the towel got thrown in and the fight was over. Someone had quit the fight. Today, our goal is to ask and to answer this question. When is it time to throw in the towel? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull up the Bible app on it. We're going to be turning together today to Joshua chapter 6. Now, the words are going to be up on the screen behind me. You can just look at that. But we encourage you to look it up on your Bible app, because I want you to read this story for yourself later on. I want you to consider this homework that I'm going to read all of Joshua chapter 6, because it's an awesome story. And we're just going to hit on part of it. But Joshua chapter 6, let me tell you what's going on. God has promised a land called Canaan to the Israelites, but in order for them to occupy this promised land, they were going to have to fight first. So the leader of the Israelites is Joshua, and they're going to have to go city to city, conquering the whole land in order to occupy the land. And the very first city they were going up against was a town by the name of Jericho. Now, Jericho was the biggest town of the area, and it was known for how big of a wall it had around it. It was super high. It was super thick. It was so thick that it was rumored that they would have chariot races on top of the walls. Now, let's just think for a moment, okay? How big is a chariot? You got a horse pulling a cart with wheels. It fits one person. It might be about yay big. And it's not a race unless there's room to pass the other person, right? So we're saying walls as thick as this stage? That's crazy. That's big. And that's who the Israelites were going to have to fight. And God was giving some instructions to their leader, to Joshua, on what kind of strategy are you going to use to win this fight? So here's what happened. In Joshua chapter 6, starting with verse 1, it says this. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would challenge us and that we would choose to change. Be with us, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. So, as I went into the ring for my very first match against someone who might as well have been Goliath, it seemed impossible. As a matter of fact, my instructor came over, pulled me into the corner of the rink. He had the towel ready to wipe up my blood or sweat or my guts, you know, whichever was going to be most on the floor or on my head. And he said, Cadet, this is going to be impossible. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's got longer arms. You're not even going to get past those. But he said, but I'm going to give you a plan to survive. I'm going to give you a plan that if you could do at least part of this, you just might live through this event today. He said, but if you actually are able to do this whole plan, you have a chance to win. I'm like, okay. So here's what he said to do. He said, the dangerous thing about this big guy is he's got far-reaching arms. Okay, to where you can't even get close to him if you get hit by one of those arms with one of those punches. He says, so you got to dodge and you got to weave and don't get hit by any of those punches. Instead, get underneath, go in fast, go up right against him and then hit him really fast, really close, as hard as you can, as if your life depended on it, because it does. I'm like, okay, sounds good. He said, don't forget that part. You can throw in the towel. So, the bell rang. Ding, ding, ding. It was time for the fight. And of course, he comes out swinging. And I'm ducking and I'm moving. I'm dodging and everything. And then I see my moment. And I rush in and throw him against the ropes. And I begin punching as fast as I can. Ding, 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 ding. The bell went. And I had to go back to my corner. Coach was like, wow, you made it through one round, wiping the sweat off of me. He's like, do it again. So the bell rang, ding, ding, ding. He's swinging, he's going, he's trying to get after me, and I'm ducking, I'm weaving. I go down low, I push him against the ropes, and I begin punching him in the stomach as fast as I can. Ding, 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 ding. Back to the corner.
Wiping.
Getting the sweat. One more round. The bell rings. Ding, ding, ding. He comes swinging, but he's going a little slower now. It's kind of easier to dodge. I feel like I was in the Matrix. Right? I go in, shove him against the ropes. And this time, I'm just like Neo, and I'm going, and I'm looking around. I punch as hard as I can, And all of a sudden, a towel gets thrown in. His coach called the match and said, stop the fight. They quit. I won. Yes, the little guy won. You know, I won. And they continued to have me fight people who were bigger and bigger. That was the guy closest to my weight class. And I had to fight ones who were bigger and bigger. And that whole season, I followed the plan all the way to the end, and I went undefeated. You see, the right instructions, if followed all the way through, can make the difference. And this fight that the Israelites were about to go to against Jericho, God has given them some instructions, and if they follow the instructions, God's saying, I'm going to give you the city. I'm going to give you the victory. But the Israelites, they weren't a great army. They didn't have a ton of people. They didn't have the technology to break walls down. They didn't have experience. They were small. They were weak. And here we have Joshua, their leader, getting an attack strategy from God. God promised they would win, but how? It's going to require a miracle in order for them to win, to conquer this walled city. But let me tell you something about God's miracles. When we need a miracle from God, God's miracles usually require our action. You see, the plan was that, hey, what you're going to do is you're going to gather everybody together, and you're going to walk around the outside of the wall, all the way around with everybody. Be quiet. And when you walk all the way around and get back to where you started, go back home. And then the next day, you're going to wake up, and you're going to walk around the wall. Be quiet. When you finish, go back. Walking. 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 Be quiet. Shh. Walk. Walk. 6 days walking one time around. And then on the seventh day, not just one time, but seven times. I mean, this is a crazy plan. Can you imagine them walking around the wall? Can you imagine just being a part of the group of people that just walked around the wall? Like, our leader has lost it. I can see how tall that wall is. I know how deep this wall is. The gates are closed up, and all we're doing is walking. This doesn't make sense. All I'm doing is walking around these walls. I really thought by now they'd fall. I read somewhere a while back that someone was trying to prove scientifically how the actions that the Israelites did going around the walls actually led to the catastrophic failure of the stone. And so they were trying to prove that that many people, hundreds of thousands of people, walking around these walls actually kind of broke up the foundation of the walls as they were going around, so that by the time they had walked around 13 times, the loudness of how they yelled reached a decibel level that made the stone molecules disintegrate and just collapse. Crazy. Not true. Like, that's not what caused it. That's impossible. I mean, I actually think that explanation of the walls collapsing is crazier than God's plan to just walk around these walls. We see, the fact is, when it comes to getting a miracle, when it comes to getting a victory, they would have to do something to get it. They had to walk. They had to trust. They had to believe. They actually had to step out and advance. They had to do it. You see, and anything that God wants us to do, it requires that we take a step as well. That we have to move forward. That we have to advance. We have to go after. We can't just say, well, hope that happens, God. Good luck with that. No, he requires us to do something when it comes to going after what he has for us. Even if it doesn't make sense. When I was a kid, it seemed that there was many occasions where my parents wanted to spend alone time going out without us boys. And so they hire a babysitter, and I don't understand why they wanted to go on dates, but they would do this. And they would hire babysitters, and I can tell you that I know for a fact that we had lots of babysitters, but I don't remember any of them except one. And the only reason why I remember this one babysitter, because I declared after they watched, this girl watched us, that she was the best babysitter ever. I'm going to tell you what happened that night when she was watching us. She's like, what do you guys want to do? We're like, we don't know. Let's play a game. Let's do something. She's like, you want to play hide and seek? And we're like, yes. She's like, okay, I'm going to count, and you guys go hide, and I'm going to find you. And so she counted, and we ran around the house, and we hid in the closets and underneath the beds or into the cabinets. We found hiding places. And then she said, ready or not, here I come. And she came and hunted us all down, and she found all three of us hiding in the house. And then she said, it's my turn to hide now. And so we counted. We covered our eyes trying to peek as she hid. Because when we were done counting and said, ready or not, here we come, we were going to hunt her down. The three of us going through the house was like a pack of velociraptors hunting through the house. We're going to find her. We're going to find her. Where is she? And we looked in the closets. We looked underneath the beds. We looked behind the couch. And we couldn't find her. And we're like, she's still here, right? She didn't, like, leave the house. So then we had to think, oh, we got to think outside the box. We got to think of some better hiding places. Maybe she's under the couch, you know, like the little few inches you have under the couch. Maybe she's in the couch cushions. We're like, maybe she's in the cabinets. Maybe we even opened the stove. Maybe she's in the stove. We thought, oh, we know where she is. She's in the refrigerator, right? We open the fridge. She's not there. Now we're starting to panic. We're like, where is she? We have looked at, like, we're just hunting through everywhere. Like, guys, let's just do this room by room to make sure we haven't missed something. Look at the laundry. Look under the covers. Look behind the beds. Look everywhere. And we're hunting. This is going on for a long time, and we can't find her. My little brother is starting to get worried. Like, Ryan, did she leave us? Like, I don't think so. And we're calling out, come out, come out. She wouldn't come out. So finally we said, we give up. We quit. We quit. You win. Where are you? And it was at that moment that we heard a voice. A voice that said, look up. And we looked up. And there she was on top of the refrigerator. We had hunted through the whole house and had always looked at our level and never looked up to see she was right there the entire time. And when it came to the Israelites and being able to conquer those walls, the walls came down because the Israelites looked up for their answer. It wasn't because of how great or how strong they were, what technology they had, or how skilled they were at knocking down walls. No, it was because of God. God was their source. God was the one directing. God was the one who's going to give them the victory. God was the one who's going to give them the miracle when it came to the walls. They had to look up. You see, there was nothing special about walking around the walls. There was nothing special about the ram's horns being blown and everyone yelling. It was all God. And when they fully obeyed and did their part, then God did his part. You see, in the same way that God collapsed the walls of Jericho, he can do the impossible with the walls that are in your life. That no matter what you are facing, no matter what barriers are coming up, that when you're taking those steps and you're advancing after what God has told you to do, what you're supposed to do or where you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to accomplish, and those walls pop up like we've been talking through in this whole series. We're wrapping up the series right now, and this is probably the most important lesson of advancing, because we've got to do our part. And it's going to take forever sometimes. It's going to feel like we're all alone and it's not going to make sense. And we're like, there's too much. And what we want to do is we want to throw in the towel and say, forget this. But when we're in this middle part, when we're actually walking around the walls, you never know what's right around the corner. As a matter of fact, if there was some advice we could pull from the Israelites as they walked around the walls, it might look something like this, because they had to walk a lap a day for 6 days, 7 days, walk seven laps. That's 13 totals. But when you find yourself in the middle of going after what God has for you, don't stop on the 12th lap. Imagine they're walking around, and after the 12th lap, they say, I'm done. Deuces, I'm out. What did they miss out on? They miss out on the miracle, because they threw in the towel and said, I quit. That is not worth it anymore. They miss out on what God has for them. They would miss out on the victory that he promised. He said, here's what you're going to do. He even told them how long it's going to take. what day they're going to do it on. And then he said, then I will collapse. But if they had quit on the 12th lap, they wouldn't see it. When you're in the middle and you want to give up, don't quit. Your miracle could be right around the next lap, the next day, the next week. Can you hang on just a little bit longer? Don't give up. Don't give in. He came through. God came through at the right time for the Israelites after the 13th lap. So don't be stopping on the 12th lap. Shelly and I, as your pastors, we want to be real with you for a moment. We want to be honest with you. And I hate it when people say, I want to be honest with you, because what, are you not honest all the time? No, really, I just giving you a warning that I'm being transparent, that when us as a church, as we move forward on what God has for us, let me tell you, it's hard. It's hard to be the pastor of a church. As a matter of fact, when it comes to pastors in general, there are pastors who quit all the time. You know why? Because it's hard. Sometimes people are dumb. Sometimes they do stupid things. Sometimes it's just more than we can handle. Sometimes it seems like, hey, God's asking us to do too much and we can't handle the pain. And it is said out there that for every pastor, that at least once a week, they think about quitting. And that's been no different for Shelly and I, because sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's really tough. Sometimes it seems impossible. Sometimes you feel all alone. Sometimes you feel like the walls are too big. They're too thick. They're not going to fall. Sometimes it feels like I can't take another step forward. But let me tell you that as much as I'm saying that on basically a weekly basis, we say, I'm not sure I want to do this anymore. Now, let me preface this with this, that Shelly and I did not make it our career goal to be pastors of a church. That is not what we set out in life to do. It's not something we picked. It's not something we're like saying, hey, you know, like, I think this might be a good career path for me, you know. And you're talking to a career counselor, right? No, we had other plans. It was only God who said, Ryan, Shelly, I am picking you. Will you be pastors? And all we could do is say, yes, take a step forward. To say, okay, we'll do it. We only do this because God asked us to do this. Not because we have some ambition, not because we're trying to accomplish something, not because we're just trying to be successful. No. Let me tell you, there's a lot of other things we could do and be successful out and probably be a lot less stressful at. But this is what God called us to do. And it's God's call that makes all the difference, because he picked us. He has a plan for us. When he gives us vision as a church, that's his dream. That's his vision. And he's saying, hey, here's some crazy things I want you to do. I want you to do a foster care home. I want you to go launch another location. Hey, I want you to start a next gen center. Hey, I want you to go help other churches. Hey, I want you to go on missions trips. And hey, that's God's dream, not ours. We're just being obedient, saying yes. And here's the cool thing. I told you that we think about it weekly, that we say, I can't do this, that it's too much. But you know what? That is not what we're going to focus on this morning. I want you to focus for a moment on what do you think we thought after we had that thought? I'm not going to quit. Because if we had quit, we wouldn't have been here for the last 7 years, and we wouldn't see the stories and the life change that's taken place at this church and the miracles that God has done, because we've said, I'm not quitting on the 12th lap. That's our decision. And we say, hey, that needs to be your decision too, to say, hey, I'm not going to quit when the going gets tough. I'm not going to quit when I don't understand. I'm not going to quit because I get offended. I'm not going to quit because it doesn't match up to my life goals or what I think or what I want to do. I wouldn't want to quit even when it hurts. And so then it begs the question, so how do you keep on going when you feel like you have nothing left? How do you keep on walking around these walls when you feel like it's never going to stop. It's never going to end. Well, our answer is in Isaiah chapter 40. Because it says, those who trust or those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God is our source to be able to keep on going. But we have to decide that we are going to continue to advance. We're going to keep on taking the next step. We're going to keep on walking around these walls. We're not going to quit on the 12th lap. We're going to see it through all the way to the end. As a matter of fact, we actually, the biggest thing we've got to do is a decision we got to make right up here. To say, no matter what wall is there, no matter how long it takes, that I'm not going to quit. We got to resolve. You see, our wish and our prayer is that you'd be able to make this statement too. It's found in the gray box in your notes, saying that I won't quit before I see God come through. I won't quit. No matter what, I'm not going to quit, not going to give in. But there was a time in my life where I quit, and it's one of my biggest regrets of all time. And I want to share this story with you, but in order to do that, I'm going to actually need somebody from the audience to come join me on the stage, and that means I get to pick on somebody. And the person I want to pick on in this service is Caleb. So Caleb, will you come join us up on the stage? Just give a hand for Caleb for being voluntold to come up here on the stage. Come on up here. He's like dragging his feet. He already knows what's about to happen. He still is reluctantly coming up. So here's the deal. When I was in basic training, on the very last day of basic training, we are in our tents. We're out in the valley. We're about to head back to the headquarters where we're at. We're about to be done. When all of a sudden we hear our instructors call out the names of five cadets and ask them to come front and center, and no one else could join them. And my name was one of those five. And they brought us out, and what they did is they had some jugs of water ready to go. And they said, we want you to pick up these jugs of water, and we want you to hold them in front of you, straight arms out. What? Now, Caleb, I got some jugs of water here, and I want you to, you're going to pick them up here in just a second, and you can go ahead and grab them right now. When I say go, you're going to hold them out straight. But you know what's hard? When something's hard to do, it's hard to do forever. Like if we know when it's going to end, we can pull up enough strength and enough energy that I got this when I know it's going to end. And so we're going to see Caleb be able to accomplish this amazing physical feat only because of one fact. Besides the fact he doesn't want to embarrass himself in front of you guys. Which he's really hoping right now. He's like, I hope my arms don't give out. I've seen what happened to these other guys in these other services, right? But we're going to just give him a time limit of 30 seconds. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pull up on my phone and I'm going to allow him to be able to see exactly how many seconds he has left the entire time that he's holding up the jugs of water. Now, how many of you are glad I didn't pick you? Yes, right, yes. Okay, so I have it set at 30 seconds. I'm about to hit start. Are you ready for this? Straight out, okay? Straight out. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, it's only been 2 seconds, dude. And it's shaking. Okay, do you see your timer there? 22 seconds left. Oh, man. It helps to be able to see, right? Okay, 17 seconds. You got this. You can do it. Do you see his arm shaking? 12 seconds. 12 seconds. Come on, Caleb. You can do this. 10 seconds. 8 seconds. You got this. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You put him down. Give him a hand. Yes. Was that hard? A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. But it was made possible because he knew how long he had to do it. But in just a second, I'm going to have him do it again. And this time I need him to keep his arms out while I tell a story. And he's got to keep them up because I want to share what happened to me that day on the last day of basic training where they had put the jugs of water in front of me and asked me to keep it out in front of me. not knowing how long it's going to be. And so, Caleb, are you ready? Okay, grab those jugs. I'll start my story as soon as you start holding out the jugs of water. There we go. So here's what just happened the night before the last day of basic training was that there was four cadets who snuck out of our tent and went to a neighboring squadron, and they decided to do some prank. They decided they were going to relieve themselves and leak themselves on someone else's tent. And when the next day they called out the names of five people, guess who four of them were? The culprits of the prank. And then there was me. And so as I'm sitting there with my arms shaking, holding the jug, trying to keep going, it's only been 30 seconds, dude. You got this. He's trying. And he's like, please finish the story. Okay. I am thinking, here's what's going through my head. I'm not one of these guys. This obviously has to be punishment for the prank that they did, but I'm not supposed to be here. And it's about this time that my arms start going down and they're coming around saying, get your arms up. Higher, Caleb, higher. Come on, you got this. Put him up there. He's hurt, he's struggling. I mean, I thought you were a football player, you know? Come on, he's got this. Now he's struggling, he's doing hard. Do you want a break? Okay, take a break, take a break. Oh yeah, he's doing good, but he's about to put him right back up because I'm not finished with my story. He's like, it's harder than it looks. Oh man, you ready? Do it. So my arms are wavering, they're shaking, and all the time I'm raging inside. Why am I here? This is not fair. I don't want to be here. And so finally, as my arms are shaking, they're continuing to yell at me and tell me, are you sure you're even a soldier? Are you weak? Can you make it? Do you want to quit? Yes, he wants to quit. And finally, I tell him, I finally get up the courage to say, sir, may I ask a question? I said, sir, can I ask a question? They said, what, cadet? I said, why am I here? They said, you don't know why you are here? No, sir, why am I here? I was angry. I'm not sure he's going to be able to hold the microphone when he sings here in a little bit. And so the instructor said, do you want to leave? I said, yes, sir. Do you want to put the water bottles down, Caleb?
Yes, sir.
Should we let him put them down? Thank you very much, Caleb. You can put those down. You can have a seat. Awesome job. I told him, yes, I do not want to be here. He's like, if you don't want to be here, then put your jugs of water down and head back into the tent. And I'm like, whoosh, whoosh. I was out of there as fast as I could because I didn't want the punishment for something I didn't do. And it hurt. It was painful. It wasn't fair. It lasted forever. 5 minutes. It lasted forever. A little while later, after they finished with the rest of the four people who were still outside while I was relaxing my arms and thinking, how am I going to lift them again? And one of the instructors called me out. They said, cadet, I'm so disappointed in you. I didn't understand. He said, I'm so disappointed in you. You had no idea what you just did. You see, what I didn't know was that this was the last day of basic training, and at the end of basic training, they pick one cadet to be named as the best basic cadet out of the whole squadron, and they get awarded a medal. And they said, we were trying to figure out who to be. You've been our front runner all along. You've been the best one all along, but we just had to be sure, so we did one last test to see if you would come out on top. And you quit. And so you will not be receiving the medal. You're not the one we're picking. And I felt so devastated, so hurt, because I had quit before the end. I pulled myself out and then I missed out. on something amazing. And too often as Jesus followers, when the going gets tough or it's not exactly something we like, or our feelings are hurt, or something doesn't go the way we planned it, or it just takes too long and we don't have the patience, we pull ourselves out and then we miss what God wants to do because we quit, because we throw in the towel. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Joshua and the Israelites didn't quit on the 12th lap. They finished the 13th lap, and then they blew the ram's horns. And in verse 20, it says, when the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed. And the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. It was a miracle. Only God could have done that. They did their part without giving up, and God did his part. God came through. So when is it time to throw in the towel? Not until you see God come through. Don't give up. Don't quit. Advance. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, to bow your heads as we take the next few moments to talk to God. God, you've been calling us to advance, that we're not supposed to sit idly by and just exist, but rather we're supposed to move forward, advancing your kingdom, helping more people find that they need you. You've given your dreams. You've shared your visions of what it is we're supposed to do, both as a family and even individually. You're calling us to our next level with you. And God, my heart, my prayer is that each of us would be able to say, I'm not going to quit, even when it gets hard, even when I don't understand, even when it's tough, even when I'm hurt, even when it doesn't make sense, I'm not going to quit. Until you come through. So God, we saw today that if we knew how much time we had, it's easier for us to make it to the end, but sometimes it's harder when we don't know how long it's going to take. So God, we ask you to give us strength, to help us. Your word says that if we trust in you, if we wait on you, that you will renew our strength. We'll mount up like with wings as eagles. We'll walk and not grow weary. We'll run and not faint. But help us, God, to never quit. Help us, God, to see it through to the end. Help us to not quit on this 12th lap. We love you, God. We look forward to seeing you do your part because we're committed to doing our part. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning we said, if you came today looking for hope, hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope. God loves you very much, but there's nothing that we can do to earn the forgiveness of our sin, to change our eternal destination. The default is that we're going to be punished with eternity apart from God in hell. But God made a way when there was no way. That's why he sent his son, because he loved us. Because Jesus came not to start a movement, not to heal people, not to be a good teacher, not to just be a religious leader. He came with a sole purpose and mission to give up his life to pay the price for my sin and your sin. And because he did that, we can now be set free from our eternal punishment. We can be forgiven of our sins. We can become a part of God's family. We can live our lives with hope and with purpose. I'm not talking about our lives are going to be just butterflies and rainbows. We're talking about life with meaning, life with focus. And I want to help you with that today. You may say, Pastor, what do I got to do? Well, the Bible says we need to pray. Simply a conversation with God. In the prayer, we need to recognize that we're not worthy, to tell God we're sorry for our sin. Next, we need to believe that God does love us and that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for us. But finally, we got to go all in and say, God, I'm deciding to put you in charge of me. I'm making you the leader, the boss of my life, that I'm going to follow you. That's when we pray that prayer that everything changes. But we're not designed to follow Jesus alone, and that's why there's a second step where we go public with our faith, why we celebrate water baptism. You see, when we get baptized in water, we're showing a word picture that when our body is placed underneath the water, it's like the old us is being dead and buried. And when we come out of the water, it's like the new us is coming alive in Jesus. And we're showing everyone who's watching, saying, hey, I made that decision to put God in charge of my life. We're celebrating that next week. And there's still opportunity. If you want to do that, you can do that. But right now, we're focusing on that prayer that makes a difference. So I'm going to help you with this by praying this prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud. I'm going to encourage you to repeat it after me, praying it out loud as well. But you're not going to be praying alone, because I'm asking everyone here, the entire Focus family, to pray this prayer with us, even those watching online right now. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.